Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor. That's Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Today is Friday, and it's been a fast week, March the 27th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Normally at this point, I would say welcome Michael, but he is actually taking our van and getting some work done on it. I hope it's not too noisy here because I'm actually sitting in Panera Bread. And so he'll be with us as soon as he gets an opportunity. The air conditioner went out on the van, and being in Florida, it's not the best time for the air to go out. But anyway, I'm sure you all who are in colder weather would appreciate that. So we welcome you to the show. And what Mind Shifters Radio is about is forgiveness from the Aramaic. And forgiveness not meaning the way this culture puts it, which is letting another person off the hook for something that they brought up in you. But it means if you and I interact and I become angry, then, you know, I might choose to pardon you, which is what this culture calls forgiveness. But that would do nothing to address my anger. So in Aramaic, forgiveness is I'm going to go inside and remove my anger so that no matter what happens in my world, whatever circumstance is going on, that I can stay in a connected space to who I am. And so that is what we're about. We're here to support you 5 days a week. There's support groups going on all over the place, and we've told each and every one of them to please call in if you have questions with your support group, that we're here to answer your questions and be behind you all the way so that you're totally successful. Welcome, Dr. Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thanks for the intro. We're sitting here on a Thursday morning after another support group last night. And in the support group, we watched the first half of the movie I Am. And if you haven't heard about that movie or watched it, I encourage people to watch it. It's several times I looked over at people during the movie and said, "Do you hear Dr. Michael Rice in that last statement?" And everybody said, "Yep, that's very much the same conclusions that Michael has drawn in his work and brings up in his lectures." And it's a movie from the man who directed Bruce Almighty, The Nutty Professor, Ace Ventura, and Pet Detective, these, Jim Carrey movies. But it's a documentary about how he woke up and realized he was living in an absolute lie. And the lie is based on the idea that if I'm living out in the wilderness, and if I'm outside, it's cold, I'm naked, it's dark, I'm wet, and I'm not happy, I'm pretty miserable. And if somebody has a nice warm cabin nearby and they invite me in, and they say, "Here, dry off, here's some warm clothes, sit by the fire, here's some soup," all of a sudden, I'm a lot happier. And I'm happier because I got a little bit of stuff. Outside physical, you know, outside of myself, physical material things. And that makes my life a lot happier with just a little stuff. And that's the truth. The lie is thinking that because that little bit of stuff made my life that much more happy, that a lot of stuff will, you know, 100 times that much stuff will make my life 100 times happier. And that's a lie. And the more stuff we accumulate, thinking we're going to be happy when we get it, the more we're stuck in a cycle of trying to accumulate rather than live our lives. And so he realized this and decided to do a documentary interviewing people, some of the greatest scientific and religious and philosophic minds of our time, and ask them, so what is the problem with our world and what can we do to fix it? So it's a wonderful movie, and we watched the first half of it, and it's so full of information that we stopped it at the halfway point and did discussion and then did a worksheet. One of the members decided to do a worksheet, and he ended up saying at the end of this worksheet that he'd gone from a 10 out of 10 upset to a 0 upset. And he said that this was the very first worksheet he did that was really powerful for him, that really gave him a shift. So it was just a lovely evening. It was a wonderful time reviewing that movie and all the different things they talk about in that movie. And again, for my part, I find it heartwarming and pleasant and stimulating to be around people in these support groups where they work to dismantle the garbage that's less than love and restore their awareness to their true nature and really start to feel the difference that energy shift can make. So that's my offering for today. We're just thrilled to be here, and I was hoping that, you know, we could have some callers in today to pick up the conversations from a couple days ago. Or I know we've had some wonderful callers, and Julie was on yesterday, and Michael invited her to call back early in the day. So is there anybody with a hand up? Or?
Yes, we actually do. I was just going to add, too, that Tom, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, Shadyek, the gentleman who did the I Am movie, it was, didn't it start with that he had a bicycle wreck and he went into all of this physical trauma and stuff that he wasn't really sure that he was going to pull out of, and it was kind of an awakening for him.
Yeah, it's Shadyek. It's Shadyac. Yeah, he had the post-concussion syndrome. And many of the people who end up with the post-concussion syndrome become suicidal because it is such torturous pain, and there is little, if anything, that they know how to do for it from the medical profession. And, yeah, he did have this awakening, but he also had the realization as he looked back at his life that all of these millions and millions of dollars that he had accumulated weren't making him any happier. He was in the constant chase to get more. And he talks about how he walked into one of his big houses, and as soon as the realtor left, he found himself sitting there in the foyer of this, what could only be called a mansion, and had the shocking realization that now that he's got it, he's no happier than he was before he had it. And he wondered, well, now what's next? So it led him on this search of discovery. And as he says in the movie, his father was one of the most generous, philanthropic men he's ever met, because his father was, you know, fundamental in creating St. Jude's Children's Hospital, where they bring in anybody with cancer, especially and children, and they treat them without charging them anything. And it was his father and Danny Thomas and some other people who put this hospital together. So he was raised with altruism and love and talking about giving, but he kind of bought into the culture's training about competition rather than cooperation, and try to be the strongest, try to be the fastest, try to be the smartest, try to get the most money, try to get the most awards. And he bought into that. And it's a wonderful story, because here he was raised with a father who wasn't really pushing him in that direction, but the culture pushed him in that direction, and he bought into that cultural pattern. And then when he woke up, he started to realize how crazy it all was. And at one point in the documentary, he reconnects and has an interview with his dad about, you know, the process for humanity. Now here he is, the younger son, getting hopeful about what he's learning from interviewing all these great minds about our true nature and about what Darwin really talked about in his work, rather than, you know, survival of the fittest and competition. And, you know, Darwin mentions love in his book 95 times, and he mentions survival of the fittest twice. So it's not Darwin who had this theory of competition in nature as a driving force in nature. It's other people who picked up his work and decided to shape it in that way. But Darwin was one of the many people who looked at nature and realized birds flock together, fish swim in schools, antelope move in herds, because cooperation is what helps us thrive and survive.
Exactly. And anybody that also wants to go, he has a blog. It's imthedoc.com. And then Tom's blog, and in it he also talks about, you know, the craziness of the media and how, you know, there's products that, you know, help you lose weight, gain muscle, look better, take out your wrinkles, make you happy. If you're too happy, it'll bring you down. You know, they have pills for everything. And he says, and we participate in this maddening clutter unaware, telling your kids that in order to succeed, they have to get the best grades, get in the right school, get the right job. We tell them that one day they must stop all this horsing around and get serious about their lives. We ask them who they're going to be when they grow up, warning them that life is all downhill after 22, declaring college in the best 4 years of their lives. And if they're lucky, they might make something of themselves in this dog-eat-dog world. It's enough to stress you out, but of course there's a pill that'll fix that too. And he goes on. So it's a really good blog and everything. So anybody who wants to also go to that. But you'll enjoy the second half of the movie too, so I won't give that one away. But we do have two callers. So let's go to the first one. It's area code 863. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Oh, is that me? my name is Kim.
It is you. Who do we have?
I'm Kim. And I'm in Sebring, Florida. I'm taking your classes in the evening at Unity. And I am overwhelmed with the amount of, I'm just beginning, so I only have 25 worksheets done. And I'm overwhelmed and kind of, I see a pattern that every time it's fear, whether I call it, let me go through my paperwork, lacking, fear of lack, or wanting, it's still fear that I'm based. I catch myself today. Last night I was on the road and I broke down, and I became very fearful. I missed class. I was very upset, and I kept getting more and more upset. Finally, I said, you're going through these classes. You threw it all out the window in 5 seconds because you're so upset that you're going to miss, that you're not going to be there, that things aren't going your way, and that you're stuck out here in traffic and your car's not moving. Well, when I caught myself, I said, okay, what's your goal? My goal is to get there. Let it go. Let your goal go. It's very hard to do. I did succeed, and I was calm, and I managed to make it home, and everything was fine, and everything's fine today, and I got my worksheets out and tried to break that down. And I'm having trouble, or I think I'm having trouble wording on the worksheet.
Okay, you said you're having trouble reading?
No, wording. When I word...
Wording.
Yeah, I downloaded another worksheet, the younger worksheet that has the 11 steps to it. And
that
so
one
I combined
is actually
the
we
two.
Do
I decided,
the
you know, how do I word? How do I put in words the anxiety I was feeling?
So let me interrupt you for a minute.
Sure.
What's your first name again?
Kim.
Okay, Kim. So let me go back to what you said earlier, where you said it's hard. And let me just offer that it isn't hard, but you have a tremendous momentum going for the fearful thoughts and the thoughts about loss and not being good enough. It isn't difficult to change that, but if it's got a lot of momentum behind it, if it's a really well-practiced set of thoughts, it will pop into your mind faster than the new ones that you're learning. So as you said, you're very new to this. And if you're like most of us, when you first get exposed to this work, it will be 180 degrees different than what the culture has trained you to think and do up to this point in time. So the first thing I would encourage you to do is remember the words of a woman who's a Jewish Buddhist, and she's in her 70s. And she talks about it this way. She says she puts her hand over her heart whenever she gets upset, angry, sad, scared, hurt, or frustrated. She puts her hand over her heart, and she talks to herself, and she says, "Sweetheart, you're in pain. Take a breath or two, focus, calm down, and then we'll look at what's going on, and then we'll decide what to do. But right now, sweetheart, you're in pain."
I love that.
So I would encourage you to ease up on yourself. When you say you have only done 25 worksheets, I want to let you know that we've had people come to our support group for over a year who've never done five. So you are way ahead of the game. You're going to make a huge difference in your life. You already have. The way you've expanded your mind by attending these classes and doing worksheets is already going to change you, even if you stopped and put them down and never did another worksheet. The way you've exposed yourself to new thoughts, the possibility of new perceptions, new questions, this is going to just keep expanding in your life. So that's the first thing. You're doing fabulously well. Understand that. And be gentle with yourself. Sweetheart, Kim, you're in pain. Take a breath or two, center, then look at what's going on, and then you'll decide what to do. There's time. That's my first offering.
Thank you. I love that. I was holding myself as a baby.
Good. And then just keep breathing. Because even as you were talking in your intro, I could sense your breathing. Shallow breath, more rapid, energy level going up.
Yes. No. I was afraid of being on the radio, actually.
Right, and last night you were afraid that you weren't going to get to the class. And
yes.
And you're afraid that you're doing the worksheets wrong. And
oh, yes.
So one of the things we notice is, as individuals, we oftentimes have a familiar pattern that we've built into a very strong habit.
Yes.
And when we identify either that pattern of emotion or that pattern of problem thinking, Michael likes to say that that's probably one of your 77 times 70 worksheet issues, where when they ask Yeshua, how often do we have to forgive before it's done, Yeshua said in the ancient Aramaic, 77 times 70 times. And this wasn't a mathematical number, but it was a number that's in reference to how 7 is the number of completion, and when you add a 0 to a number, it means infinity. So this is a way, in an idiom to express that I'm going to have to do as many worksheets, an infinite number of worksheets, on my issues of fear until my fear is resolved. And so I'm not going to be looking for completion. I'm going to be looking at it as a process, and I'm going to be willing to do my process, not because some teacher told me I have to, but because I have liberty, a more joyful, expansive, relaxed life when I remove the fear.
Yes. And so I came to the conclusion that even though I used anxiety, lack, anger, I decided that that was all fear, I still need to break my fear down into all of those pieces. Is that correct? Abandonment, all of those issues are fear, but they're different. Are they different fears, or
they might be, but in this work, each worksheet, I want to list a different emotion.
Okay.
So I might have four or five emotions come up for the same situation.
Yes.
So in your situation last night where you're driving and something happens and it makes you think, well, because this happened, whether it's a road condition or a mechanical problem with my car or I took a wrong turn, whatever it is, because of this thing happening, I'm not going to make it to my class. So if I'm driving to a place, a destination that I really want to be, and all of a sudden something happens that I don't want, and I realize I'm not going to make it there, I might have fear that I'm not going to make it. I might have anger at myself for being so stupid that I took a wrong turn. I might have frustration because I can't get the car to quit overheating and I have to keep stopping and putting water in it. So each of those would be a different worksheet for the same process.
Okay.
And when I do that from that goal, I'll notice a different thought that I have generating that emotion.
Mm.
So if my thought is, oh, I can't believe I'm this stupid that I took a wrong turn. Well, my goal generated from that thought, which is creating my anger at myself, my goal is I want to be smarter.
Mm.
So when I cancel the goal to be smarter, I'll access a different part of my brain.
Uh-huh.
And my unconscious mind that's holding the energy that's creating my anger. If I have fear that I'm not going to make it, my thought is, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make it and people are going to think I'm skipping out. So my goal might be for people to think that I'm good at my word, or my goal might be to make it everywhere I want to be on time. And when I cancel that goal, it'll lead me to a different part of my unconscious mind that's generating my fear.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So breathe into that for a minute. And let me ask, because I think earlier, Jeannie, you were about to say something. What input do you have for Kim?
Oh, well, awesome input that you're giving her. And, Kim, it was absolutely perfect for what you needed to look at. And probably 99% of people, you know, they may do worksheets on anger and guilt and shame and all this other. And at the very bottom of it, I think that fear is one of the basis of all of it. And
okay.
A lot of it will go all the way back to your childhood. And, you know, it's kind of like taking it to another depth, but what is underneath that fear even? You know, what would happen? What's the worst scenario that could happen? And a lot of times it's, you know, somebody will think less of me or something like that. But a lot of times when I do worksheets, I'll back into them. The very first thing I was getting ready to say is if you've pulled up the 11 steps, that's the one we do at teacher's training, you probably have just jumped into one of the harder worksheets. I'd go back to the 7th step. But, I mean, you're trying to rush the gate there.
Okay.
But anyway, a lot of times what I call backing into a worksheet, you know, I might not know the exact goal I want right yet, but I know the feeling. And I may not even know what thought is directly behind that feeling. So have several worksheets and fill in as much as you can on each one, and then, you know, breathe and go back and fill in the rest. It's, like I said, I call it backing into it. Sometimes I may just know, you know, this is what I want to happen. This is the goal. I want to be on time. And then back into, well, then I'm not going to be on time, so what's the feeling behind that? And what's the thought behind that? And so just kind of back into it that way.
Okay. That sounds smart. And then it's okay to have four or five worksheets going at once when you get all these ideas in your head. I put one thing down, and then you said, write down, you know, who, and, oh, this person made me feel, and that made me feel this way. And then I was overwhelmed.
Okay, let's stop right there. Nothing outside of you can make you feel anything. So
okay.
Stop and take a breath. It brings it up for you. It's a trigger for you. But
okay.
It's always already inside of you, or you wouldn't be feeling it. And, yes, that's what we call the Hydra effect. And one of the MP3s on there, if you go to the website and click on the bullseye and you go down to where the third link says MP3s of radio shows, one of the first two or three, I don't remember what order it's in right now, was one with a lady named Mogden. She's usually on the show with us listening too. And she started out with one worksheet, and by the time that the show was over, just within the hour, she had 14 worksheets to do, I think it was. And it's just like one goes into another. And so have several worksheets there. And when you're doing one worksheet, say you just get down to the thought behind the feeling and you go, oh, I also had that thought with John and Joe and Jill. And, well, each one of those then is a separate worksheet. So fill in just that little piece on each of those worksheets. Go back to your first one, your primary worksheet. But then that way you've got part of it anyway already written down, so you can go back and fill it in, because if you don't write it down when it pops in your head, it'll be gone. And then it'll be like you get to the bottom of your first worksheet and you go, I was going to do another one, but I don't remember what it was on. So, you know, fill in each little part. If you get down, you're doing one worksheet and you get down to canceling the goal, and then the next part, you know, you asked Rooka to help you to let all that go and everything, and then what do you see? And then whatever thought is that pops up, you know, well, I see that this has been a pattern all my life. And then you might think of immediately two or three times when that happened. So grab a worksheet and fill it in. You know, that's the next, up at the top, the event that you want to fill in on two, three, or four, however many, and then go back and finish your primary one, but then you've got those others started. So.
Okay.
And for those who don't know, Kim, even though she's just started this week, she's only gotten 25 worksheets. She has volunteered to start a support group in Sebring starting this coming Monday night. So, girl, you have really stepped into it, and that's awesome, because everything that you're going to teach, you're going to experience. You know, I think it was Richard Bach said that we teach best what we most need to learn. So you're guaranteed that whatever you're going to teach your group, you're going to get to experience it and go through that healing process too. They're there to support you as much as you are there to support them.
Yeah.
Dr. Kim, you can attest to that one too, can't you?
Absolutely. But my primary comment right now is that both you and Kim have said that she's, quote, only, unquote, done 25 worksheets. That's phenomenal work. If you have statistics for how many people have been through these workshops, whether from Dr. Rice giving them or, you know, Rex doing it or Bill doing it, all these different people who've done Why Is This Happening to Me Again worksheets, David Hayes has made those presentations. If you knew how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people have sat through that lecture and never done one or only done one or two, then it would be much easier for you to drop the word only when you're describing that you've done 25 worksheets. That's phenomenal work.
I totally agree. Good correction. Thank you, Tim.
Yes, thank you. And they're willing continue to increase. I guess my problem was really with breaking down the fears and whether I was being picking too much.
Well, by what do you mean by that?
I guess breaking it down so far, taking each little feeling, I guess, and breaking that down. And I thought, am I getting petty with myself? I guess that's how I felt. Am I going too far with it?
Okay, well, what I would suggest is that unless it brings you to the point where you stop doing the worksheets and you're stuck because you can't decide what to put in the form, it's probably not a problem.
Okay.
And then the next thing is to say, when you have a question, am I being petty? Am I doing it wrong? That's another worksheet. I'm judging myself negatively.
Thank you. I'm writing a worksheet now.
So I can do a worksheet on how I feel like I'm gonna be too detailed, I'm gonna be too petty, I'm gonna get it wrong. And so I can do a worksheet on my fear of doing the worksheets wrong. I can do a worksheet on my judging myself negatively.
Yes.
I can do a worksheet on feeling overwhelmed. I can do a worksheet on thinking that I've only done 25 worksheets. And you might be projecting in your mind that because Dr. Michael Rice stood up in front of the group and suggested people do 5 worksheets a day for 40 days, you might be projecting in your mind that most everybody else is doing 5 worksheets a day or maybe 10 worksheets a day. And the reality is nothing like that. The actuality in life is nothing like that. That's simply a reality you've created in your mind, and that's worth a few worksheets itself. What is it about Kim that has her judging herself so negatively in so many different areas of life?
Mm.
Keep breathing.
Yes, thank you. I'm breathing very deeply now. And actually, I'm smiling and I'm very at peace right now. I feel what you said has really helped me and grounded my work, I believe. And it isn't a lot of work. Well, I love the canceling of the goals when I invite Ruka the Krishna to incline me towards healing and restore me to Rahma. I find myself saying that while I'm working during the day, and I found myself holding people as a newborn when they do something or say something, and I think, I don't quite agree with how you're doing that. Then I hold them like a baby, and it brings them right into my heart with love rather than in my head with any hostility or aggression or so. And that has started already. I thought, wow, it's a powerful tool if it can do that this quickly in your mind. It stops me, my fear or my feelings, and brings them to my heart, just lowers them right from my head to my heart.
Well, it sounds like a lovely practice, and it's not that it is so powerful a tool. It is that you are using it beautifully. And I would correct one thing you said earlier about how what I said caused you to feel so calm. And if you had any idea how many times I have said those same kinds of words to thousands of people who have chosen to walk away angry or judge me as being too woo-woo to be their therapist, or you would have some idea about how it's you making the changes in your life in this phone call and with those worksheets and in this loving, wonderful practice you've just described of whenever you judge that you don't agree with what someone's doing, then you view them as an infant and hold them in your heart. That's a wonderful, wonderful tool, and you're getting the benefits of how you're using it.
That's true. It's very true. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the call. And is there anything else we can do to support you specifically in this call?
No, that was it. I'm going back to do my worksheets and listen to the end of the show, and then I'll finish my worksheets.
Well, thank you for being here and listening in and doing your work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Okay, our next caller is area code 775. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Jerome. Heather.
Hi, how are you? Yes. You're on. Who do we have?
I am good. My name's Heather, and I was just calling in to comment on what everybody's saying about how I've just started this program recently myself, and it has changed so much about everything about me. Like yesterday, you had that guy with the water and the pipes and everybody looking at him because he's going to scream and freak out. That used to be me, and I'm not like that anymore. And it's because of this workshop I do in Pahrump with Dr. Andrecki, who introduced me to it, that it has changed so much of my family dynamic, my friendships, and everything. And I wanted to say thank you.
That's awesome, Heather. I actually just got off the phone with Mrs. Andrecki just last night. We had a conversation.
Yeah, they're amazing people.
Yeah, they are.
Well, Heather, thank you for calling and sharing your results. And let me correct your statement, just like we just did with Kim. It's not Dr. Andrecki, and it's not the tools. It's the changes you've made in your life and your family relationships because of your use of these tools. Congratulations to you for changing your life.
I 100% agree with you. It is me. I'm the one that took the steps, and I'm the one making the changes, and I am very thankful, I guess, to myself. And I'm just thankful that Dr. Andrecki introduced me to this program, or I would have never known about it.
Excellent, excellent. And congratulations for applying the tools and improving your life. Michael likes to quote A Course in Miracles where it says, when you're healed, you're never healed alone. And there's another line where it says, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you've decided to do to change your life and your family relationships for the better. So thank you.
That's amazing. Thank you. I just wanted to share, so I'll let you take another caller if there is one, but I just wanted to get on here and tell everybody it does work. Do the worksheets. It can change your life if you take the steps to do so.
Excellent. Thank you, Heather, and you're welcome and quite deserving.
You have a wonderful day.
All right, you too.
Thank you. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear from you because that definitely makes this show active and alive, and your question is always someone else's question. Right at the moment, we don't have any other hands up, and I've switched over and told the chat room apologies, but even though I'm a Gemini and can multitask, sometimes it's a challenge to try to read and talk at the same time. So I'm not doing a lot of talking in the chat room, but Michelle's out there and Peace is out there, and they're handling the conversations really well. So a hand just now went up, and it's 417 area code. You're on the air.
Hello, everybody. This is Magda in Missouri.
Hi, Magda.
Speak of angels, and angels appear.
Oh, wow. The Angel Network, yeah? Thank you. I just want to take a moment to recognize the incredible idea that was shared by the caller before last. I just came in on the end of it. And because I had to join the show late, I just love that idea of seeing the person as a baby, some person who might be triggering me to get my mind to look at that person as a baby. It kind of reminds me of what people are told very often if they have to get up and speak in front of a group, just pretend that you can see everybody in their underwear. Have you heard that one?
I've heard that one.
So this is way better. Pretend, not pretend, but really see them as who they truly are. The love of the infant as we all came in, and we still are that. So I wanted to acknowledge that. It's a brilliant idea. And coming from someone who has just begun this work, I think it's doubly brilliant. And I just want to say thank you. And that's all I had to add today.
Thanks, Magda.
You're welcome. And I love what you say, and so deserving.
Thank you. I'll take that. It's
okay.
Just a pleasure.
Okay,
to be
I'll
on
sign
the
off
team.
And listen.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Okay, we had another caller just pop in. So area code 863, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
This is Carolyn, and I'm calling from Sebring, where Dr. Rice and Jeannie are doing a workshop this week. And I just wanted, this is my first opportunity to call in, and I'm already just so thankful that these calls are going to be available, because it seemed like this week a lot of things were like overwhelming at first, but then the last two mornings when I've gotten up and did my worksheets, things are just popping up that I never realized was still down there, and it's just making a whole lot more sense to me now, and I'm excited to be part of the new Mind Shifters support group at Unity.
Wonderful. Is there a specific question we can help you with, or a way to start outlining some worksheets on the idea that you think things outside of you can be overwhelming?
I think it was more of the internal struggle I have had all my life about self-esteem and self-worth, or the unworthiness and incompetent. And then this morning, as I was writing it, my worksheet out, I realized that as a child, from birth to about 8 years old, I was so richly blessed to have wonderful aunts and uncles and grandmothers that really just showered me with blessings and love. And then when I was eight, we moved to Indiana, or to northern Indiana, and I was in the middle of the school year, so I was a new kid right in the middle of this third grade class where all the students had, you know, already formed their groups for the year, and I was kind of like the outcast. And it was my first male teacher as well, and I got in trouble with him one day for some other kid said I did something which I never did, but I had to go up in front of the class and put my nose in the center of a circle on the chalkboard. And so that just left me with, I can't trust men, so some relationships in my life have been affected by that. I'm fortunate to be in a very loving relationship with my husband here now. But just to go back and think about, I thought I had gotten rid of all that, but apparently there was some still stuff down in there in those southern Indiana cells inside me that brought that up today. And so I'm starting to make the connection between, you know, these things that were being taught. And for that, I'm so grateful. You have no idea.
Oh, I think most of us who've tried the work do have an idea.
Yeah,
I'm
you
grateful.
Do. You do.
It's
yes.
You know, I don't know anybody whose life was perfect, and I don't suppose that anybody whose life would perfect would have any need to pick up these tools. So everyone who's picked up the tools and used them and seen them help has some inkling of how grateful you must be, and it's a delight to have you call in and let us know that it's already making a difference for you to use the tools.
It is, and I'm able to share it with my husband, who had some childhood issues as well that were told to him that really weren't true at the time, but we, of course, take it on as truth, and are fortunate to now be able to, you know, say goodbye to those hostility and anger, and just welcome ourselves into a newborn world. And it's pretty exciting.
And it's really important to understand that what happened to me yesterday doesn't exist anywhere in this universe except in my mind if I reactivate it today.
And so Thank you for saying it that way.
If that's true about yesterday, how much more true is it about things that happened to me 40 years ago?
Absolutely.
And so if I activate that energy, then I'm the one choosing to focus on it and activate it. So I could choose to focus on it and activate it, reactivate it, dismantle it, let it lie there until it gets triggered. I'm actually creating my experience of life in every moment by what I choose to focus my conscious awareness upon. And if I'm not taught that that's how it actually works, then I'm creating out of default, and I'm creating out of what I've been conditioned to believe, and I'm creating out of the momentum of my thoughts from the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But now, if somebody comes up to me and says, Tim, slow down, look at this differently, step back and observe this, take a breath or two, shift your focus to a more loving thought, how do you feel now? Oh, very differently. Shift back to the angry thoughts. How do you feel now? All kind of tight and tense. If I have that demonstrated to me, and then I choose to start observing that in my life, I can start to create a different experience of my life moment to moment to moment without having to wait for any conditions outside of me to change. And when I do that, I've stepped into a new actuality for unconditional love, a new definition for unconditional love, not you better love me no matter what I do, but a new definition for unconditional love that says I can choose to focus my awareness on my true nature as love and feel my loving nature in every moment and in every condition without having to wait for anyone or anything outside of me to change. And that's a new definition for unconditional love that I can really resonate with.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. Thank you so much. It's just a wonderful blessing, and I'm excited and ecstatic about doing this work to help others as well. It's just there's just no words for it enough.
That's true. I have found the same to be true. There aren't really words to describe it. Well, thank you for being on the team and for doing work that benefits all of us. And thank
you
for
calling
in to share your experience.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful weekend and day and life and all those good things.
Thank you. You too.
All right, dear. Thank you.
And Carolyn,
yes,
talking about your childhood experiences and things, tonight, which is our last night here in Sebring, is on codependence to interdependence, and we will introduce the power person, which is usually, not always, but usually a parent, and brings in the childhood issues. So you'll get a big insight if you're able to come tonight, and hopefully your husband
will
come too.
I'll be there with bells on.
Awesome.
I will be
okay.
there with bells on. All right, dear. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
See you.
All
righty.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we've got about 10 minutes. 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. Press 1, and that puts you in queue. And I'm holding the space. One person in the chat room said they kind of had a funky kind of feeling, and it was almost like a feeling of wanting to leave the planet. And they weren't sure if they were actually just picking up on someone else's feelings. And so I started to type in there and haven't really been able to talk a lot because, like I said, I'm talking and typing at the same time. And but anyway, Dr. Tim, can you touch on, I had typed in, if you feel it, it's yours. And they said not true. One time their neighbor took their life, and that night they were feeling his feelings. So can you speak towards
us being in resonance with someone else and picking up on that same feeling, but it's a feeling that we hold within us. It's not that we are feeling someone else's.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, this is a difficult topic for a lot of people because most of the time when we use the word responsibility, what resonates in someone's mind is definitions like fault, guilt, blame, shame. And when we're talking about responsibility, we're simply talking about a tool, which if I pick it up, it allows me to respond differently to a situation the next time it happens. So there are often people who, Michael talks about people he's met who want to tell people that they're an empath and that they feel other people's feelings. And Michael's statement about this is, I can only feel my own feelings. Now, what's in me as a feeling, as an energy, can get resonated by what someone else is feeling. And I can be aware of what someone else is feeling. I can see an intense energy come over someone. And I might use words to describe that as, gee, you look angry. And I can recognize that kind of an energy in another person without having to feel the anger myself. But if I have that recognition in somebody's energy and I label that energy as anger, and I say, your anger is making me feel afraid, or your anger is stirring up my anger, or you're causing me to be angry, or I feel your anger, all of these are ways to weave in and out of responsibility. So if you think about it in terms of what quantum physics is telling us about what Einstein used to call spooky action at a distance. Quantum physics calls it quantum entanglement. Indra's web is an ancient Middle Eastern philosophy that said everything is connected to everything else all the time. And if you think about how Einstein said, if you think you're separate or separated from anyone or anything, you're living in an optical delusion. So in one sense, yes, I feel somebody else's anger, but I can't feel it unless it's resonating in my system. And there are other people who could have their own anger and stand right next to me, but have it be a different flavor, a different frequency of anger, and not have their anger get stirred up by my anger. So it's a complex thing. The point is, excuse me a minute. I had to clear my throat there. It's a complex thing, and the point we're trying to make with this work is if I'm feeling it inside of me, then there's work for me to do, even if it's resonating in me because of what someone else did or what someone else is feeling. You know, we have this wonderful system. If you watch the movie we were talking about earlier, the I Am movie, there's the heart math material and research in there. There's knowledge about the vagus nerve and how we as people are wired to pick up the energies, to resonate with the energies of other people, to feel empathy and compassion and sympathy in a healthy way, to nurture and support each other when we run into somebody who's weaker than we are or somebody who's in a crisis. All of these things we actually have energetic explanations for, and we have what seem to be physical structures within our body, like the vagus nerve, which, you know, is the kind of thing that if I'm sitting and watching a movie, and again, it's just lights flickering on the screen and sounds coming through the speakers, but if they resonate ideas in me that resonate and stimulate my sadness or my fear or my anger, it literally can activate the energy within me to stimulate the vagus nerve, to bring tears to my eyes, to get a tightness in my chest. The point we're trying to make with this is, if that happens, I'm having the experience inside my energy system, and I have the ability to apply tools to that energy to dismantle it within me. And even the work, you know, there's a lot of different people out there who've done work with people who are empaths because, you know, they are so empathetic. They read other people's energy so well. They resonate with other people's energy so intensely. And so they teach people how to focus on their own internal experience and moderate and modulate their internal experience because they are so sensitive to the energies of other people. But just because I'm sensitive to the energy of somebody else doesn't leave me a helpless victim. If I learn how to focus on my own internal experience, and I learn the techniques for shifting my thoughts, for canceling my goals, for dispersing the negative energies that I'm carrying in my own system, then time and time again, people who have been extraordinarily empathic and easily tuned into the energies of others, they learn how to become more insulated, more autonomous in their ability to moderate their own internal feelings. And there are really good resources for that. There are people who talk about the very same kinds of things that Way of Mastery talks about and Abraham Hicks talks about and Course in Miracles talks about from the perspective of helping somebody who is extraordinarily sensitive to the energies resonating in other people. And it's because we're all connected at another level. And because as I sit here as a 60-year-old psychologist, I don't just have my 60 years experience on the planet resonating in my energy system. I have my mother's energetic and genetic bloodline and my father's energetic and genetic bloodline. And so I have energies that can get stirred up in me today that may have nothing to do with anything that I've physically, mentally, or emotionally been through in my 60 years on the planet, but they're contained in the morphogenic field of my energy field that I call a mind-body, or in my soul, if you will. And because that's there and resonating in me, I have access to it. And if I apply these tools of the goal canceling, the breath work, and the reality management worksheet process, I can literally shift the energy that I'm resonating with. And of course, that positively affects everyone. As we said earlier in a couple quotes, when you heal, you are never healed alone. And millions yet unborn will benefit from the work that you do here today. Any input, Jeannie? Any response?
So, we were chatting at the same time, and they said thank you. They were going to print the worksheets out, and it was great information, and they felt peace, and that they were welcoming the tools because they found that they were very sensitive to other people's feelings. And so they were going to download the worksheets. I gave them the link to the MP3s of radio shows where we've actually walked someone through doing the worksheet, so they can listen to those and kind of follow along and get the hang of how to do the worksheet. And we are down to about 90 seconds. We did have a couple more callers, but we don't have time to take it, so perhaps they'll call in on Monday and start the show out with us on Monday. If you're in the Sebring area, we only have one more night, and that's tonight, doing codependence to interdependence. And then Michael and I will be headed up to first we're going to make a stop in Orlando and check out the hotel and the farm that's going to be providing all the wonderful food for our intensive. And then we're going on up to High Springs and work with Danielle and Susan on the website a little bit and then come back down to Orlando for the intensive. So we've got a lot going on. You can pick up our whole schedule on the website, www.whyagain.org. And we appreciate you being with us. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.